All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. This is a podcast within that podcast, first episode of the new show called Comics Rule Everything Around Me, show where we're going to talk about comics, which we love, and what we're reading lately, new and old, just kind of what's going on in comics, all that kind of fun stuff. And our very first episode, which this is, was going to be just me yammering on, but then started texting a special guest here and realized we had some stuff to talk about, and he had the free time to come hit me up, and here he is now, first time ever on the show, longtime listener, the original White Lantern himself, Joe Martini.
What up, what up, what up?
Joe, you are... not only a true blue super friend, but you are also my go-to Spider-Man expert, number one spider fan friend.
True, true.
Yeah, you are the Spider-Man guy in our crew. And today we're going to talk about, like, Superman is to me, Spider-Man is to you.
Definitely.
And that's always kind of been like our touching off point.
Well, yeah, you're literally Clark Kent in my phone.
Yeah. 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 No idea what we were talking about.
You were saying that me and you share an affinity for a character. Yours is Superman, mine is Spider-Man.
Yeah. And Superboy is kind of where we meet in the middle.
That's true. Yeah. Clark Kent, rest in peace.
And you were also telling me that you've got, we both got some thoughts on sort of what's going on in our respective fellas' lives.
Yeah.
So I want to go ahead and let you start.
Okay.
Now, are you reading Spider-Man and have you been?
Yeah, I'm reading Miles Morales and, of course, Slott's Amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we get to Amazing, how are you feeling about Miles in the new, being in this new world?
Well, it's interesting because it's like, you know, Bendis had, you know, the toy box could do whatever he wanted and wasn't impeded by the Marvel Universe. He was impeded by the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah.
And the Ultimate Universe probably had like one big crossover every year, but the Marvel Universe has like three or four things going on. So it's like with reading his stuff, you feel like you're reading going on, then you got an event, reading going on, and you got an event. And they still haven't, you know, told us how Miles' origin worked in the Marvel Universe. We still don't know a lot of stuff. And, you know, I love Miles, and I love, you know, Genki and his, you know, supporting cast, the newest issue, spoiler alert, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage show up. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome. It's Bendis, so you would expect that.
And you're a big Bendis fan anyway.
Been reading Bendis Spider-Man for 16 years, yeah. I mean, literally. I mean, I probably read more Bendis Spider-Man than have anything else, which is interesting, to say the least.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not like Bendis Spider-Man is where you came into it. Spider-Man's always been your guy.
Yeah, but it's. I was thinking about this because I knew we had this topic. Like, the way I got into comics, the way I got into Spider-Man was my parents bought me the Marvel Comics Video Library. Do you remember this?
Was these those tapes where it's like the cartoons from the 60s or like the 80s with Spider-Man and his amazing friends?
No, what it would do is you would have like on the box, it would have like Dr. Doom.
Right.
And then it would show a 1963 Captain America cartoon.
That had Dr. Doom
in it. Yeah. And then you would watch a 80s Spider-Man cartoon with Dr. Doom in it. And then you'd watch the Fantastic Four cartoon. And they like had eight videos. I mean, I only had eight, but that's how I got into comics.
I think I have a couple of those VHSs over there. I think I've got the Thor one over there on the shelf.
That's awesome, dude.
I don't know if it's, I think they repackaged them like a couple different times.
Yeah, because the ones I had were the big bulky VHSs where you would open it to the left and
like
the
right. Like a clamshell.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, just got some comics and then just became Spider-Man number one fan.
The first place I ran into those videos, I remember, was at the Price Chopper grocery store in Newport, Arkansas. And they had like a whole little set where it was like, oh, Captain America, Spider-Man, you know, whatever. And I was like absolutely losing my mind with excitement. I was like, what? And the thing that sucked was like a bunch of my family is from Newport, which is like a small town in Arkansas.
Right.
We would go over there like every other weekend or something like that. But the thing was, though, when we'd stay there, like we were staying with family there who were really old.
Right.
And that family, they had one TV. Mm-hmm. It was in the living room. And it was one of those TVs that used to like sit on the floor.
Yeah, the stand ones.
Yeah, where it's like, it's got a whole wood thing. Like it's basically like a table on top of it. Mm-hmm. just thinking about those old TVs cracks me up. Like, oh, we used to just sit the TVs on the floor. Mm-hmm. And it was big enough to take up the entire room.
You would literally need like three people to move them. Like, it was a big deal. Yeah.
But we would, but they didn't have a VCR.
Okay.
And that kind of TV, I don't even know how you would have hooked a VCR There's up to it.
Probably no red and white.
Yeah. Yeah. No AV inputs. No inputs on the, but I remember like I was so excited and I got at least one of those tapes that day because I was like just so excited and freaking out. And, but then it was like torture because I had it and had no way to watch it until we got back to Memphis. And so I'm just like,
you're just reading the back of the box.
Yeah, I just kept like looking at it and be like, oh boy, I can't wait to watch this. But I was already well into comics by that point.
But you know what's crazy about those tapes is that the Fantastic Four you would watch, like from the 80s, had no Human Torch.
Yeah, it had Herbie instead of the
like
Human Torch.
And the opening would be like, and Herbie, the newest member of their team. It's just like, excuse me, Herbie just hanging out there. And I don't know why, like, I guess a fire guy would have been scary. Like,
well, there was a Fantastic Four cartoon in the 60s that had the Human Torch.
Right.
But the, was it in the 70s? Anyway, they'd done the Human Torch on cartoons before. But the reason that they changed, I mean, supposedly, you know, the urban legend goes, is because then once it got to that point where they were doing the one with Herbie, it was like they were afraid kids would try to set themselves on fire to be like the Human Torch. And so they were like, oh, he's got to go. We got to get rid of this Joker and put somebody else in there that's like the world's most irritating robot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's supposedly the urban legend of it. So those videos were kind of your entryway.
Yeah, and then I went to the, you know, this is back, we're older. So, I mean, you could still buy comics at a grocery store. And every month you would go and get what you wanted. And then eventually I got a subscription to Amazing. And we're talking about like issues 360 and then like kept it up through like that 375, that big, you know, Venom cover that was the biggest deal in the world. And then, you know, but you're talking about Spider-Man. I thought about this, like, I'm unfortunate because I started reading in the 90s.
Right.
So Spider-Man was terrible. And then you get the Image stuff with Larson and McFarlane. Everything's great. Yeah. Well, they leave and they're left with nothing.
Yeah.
So you go from there to this.
Left with Mark Bagley.
And I know how you don't like Mark Bagley, but I have an affinity for him.
I don't have any. I think Mark Bagley is probably a great human being. I met Mark Bagley's daughter at the bar at Heroes Con 1 year. Mm-hmm. She was there like on her honeymoon. Obviously she's grown up around comics.
Sure,
That was like part of sort of their like honeymoon trip kind of road trip thing was coming to Heroes Con. And she was like the nicest. She was just super cool. And like I was talking to her and her husband and she was like, she was just super cool. And I was like, the whole time I was just going like, oh my God, you're so nice. And she was talking about how cool her dad was. Like, and I was like, her dad does sound like a great person. But I was like, oh my God, I hate his art so much.
Well, his art is funny. I mean, cause you look at those like 90s Spider-Man. And
I was just like, don't accidentally say how much you don't like his art. And to be fair, it's not like I hate his art.
Yeah.
But what I think it is that thing of he was the unfortunate person who had to come in right after like Todd McFarlane and then Eric Larson and then Mark Bagley. And I will say this about him also. He is like, his stuff always looks consistent.
Exactly. There's consistency there. Yeah.
It's like his stuff is, I don't feel like anything, it's not like he ever knocks it out of the park, but it's like, every time he goes to bat, you know he's going to hit it. It's never going to look worse.
No.
It's never going to look – it's also never going to look like a way better.
But yeah, but you say that, but then like you'll look through like an old trade or like an old comic and all of a sudden you're like looking, you're like, this head just bugs the hell out of me.
Man, that haircut he gave Ultimate Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that drove me crazy. Just like, even then, it's like that haircut looked like, you know, because when did Ultimate start? Like in 2000?
It was actually 2000, yeah, right in it.
And I was like, that looks like the kind of haircut that like a kid would have in like the early 90s maybe or something. Yeah. It looked dated even then.
Yeah, but you look at that and that book came out, Ultimate came out right after they did that John Byrne weird origin
Spider-Man scene. Chapter 1.
Yes. And it was horrible all the way around. So when Ultimate came out,
I have like a weird affinity for that.
How?
Well, it's just the point in my life when that came out. It was like, for whatever reason, that series. I mean, look, there's
terrible comics everywhere. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and there's stuff in that is like really where I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
But there was something about it that I enjoyed because like the schedule that was on. I want to say it seemed like that came out. It probably didn't come out more than once a month, mm-hmm. but for some reason to me, I was working at a comic shop at the time. It was like really early job for me,
right?
Like one of those we're not even going to pay you minimum wage kind of things because you're so excited just to work at a comic shop, not at our comic shop,
the best comic shop.
Yeah, this is a comic shop that's out of business now, probably because of practices like that,
right?
But they, it seemed like that book came out just all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, whatever you chalk that up to in my psyche, you know, is whatever. But it's like I was reading so many comics and I was just so excited to be in a comic store. Yeah. And like that comic, I just have such vivid memories of it. And I remember just going like, oh, man, this is cool. Because it's like all this famous Spider-Man stuff getting redone sort of like in quick fashion. And it's like, oh, I mean, and even then John Byrne's art was like a little out, was kind of like behind the times.
Yeah.
But and this is one of the books I wanted to talk about, was I also just reread recently that 1986 Man of Steel miniseries that he did that sort of rebooted Superman.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Came out right after Crisis.
And correct me, that was the one where they took his powers down a notch or they kicked him up a notch?
Yeah, no, they didn't like make a point of really like going, oh, his powers are lower now. There wasn't anything like that, but it was just the way that John Byrne was handling him. You could tell that it was a little lower. And then they kind of played into that going forward after that miniseries.
Yeah.
But that miniseries, which I just reread, and it's got some of the same things. Like, I really like his art in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, John Byrne's art is so influential, like, for so many guys that then we were. His stuff from the 70s and 80s ended up being so influential to guys that we were really big into,
right?
You know, like Todd McFarlane and Eric Larson, a bunch of those.
But you got to pair him with like a good inker and a good colorist. I think that's.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He could, and the coloring on that Spider-Man chapter one is like real iffy. But that was the whole reason they brought him in. Like the Spider-Man books were just like a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, let's see if maybe John Byrne can do that same thing he did with Superman to Spider-Man.
Right. And that's kind of the point though, is that, you know, that stems out of the Clone Saga, which we all know and love and hate.
Yeah. I started to think about asking you to try to like completely summarize the Clone Saga while we were here today.
No.
But we're not going to do that.
No.
But what I do want to do is, another time,
mm-hmm.
I want to, we're going to get you real drunk.
Okay.
And then get you to try to explain it all.
Wait, talk about me being really drunk in Spider-Man. There was one night I was with a couple of our friends and I got inebriated and I actually called.
On Smile Dip.
Huh? On Smile Dip, yes. Yeah. And I called the Marvel office. No, this gets better. I got all the way to Joe Quesada's voicemail. And I left him a voicemail that he was screwing up Spider-Man and then he needed to change it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, I mean, like, I don't know Joe Quesada. Can you imagine a 20-year-old Joe Martini message being like, you really screwed up Spider-Man?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But anyway, but
guys, we had to take a break there for a second in case this doesn't sync up right, because Roxy was wanting to get involved in the podcast. But we were talking about the John Byrne Spider-Man and like sort of your, you feel like the 90s were a real poor time to be getting into Spider-Man.
It kind of is. I mean, you know, they haven't figured it out. They do that revamp. They do the Byrne revamp. And then
this is making me want to go back and read that John Byrne chapter one.
It's a flip of the origin is all it is.
Yeah.
And then it goes on for like a year. But while that's going on, Ultimate comes out. And, you know, Spider-Man fans are like, what is this? Because we didn't know what it was. They didn't explain it to it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he takes six issues to just do Origin.
He doesn't get to be Spider-Man. Like, I think it's like four issues before he even puts the suit on.
I don't think he even gets, does he get bitten in the first issue?
I think he does. But it doesn't come into play. But I know, I remember just being shocked that I was like, I was reading that because, like I said, I was working in a comic shop when that happened. And I was like, when is he going to be Spider-Man?
Yeah.
It's funny, too, man, thinking about you saying that, like, I just had like a flashback to being at school. And see, this is why I love getting to talk to people about these things on the show. Like doing a show like this is because it's like these stories that someone else will say something. It'll make you think of something from your childhood or something where you're just like, oh, I never would have thought to tell that story. But it was like, I remember one time me and Corey, who listeners may know as the guy who did the commercials for the Gravity Falls Gosper and does our theme music at the end of the show. He and I were in art class and there was this girl. We were like, I remember we were doing this project out of the art room where we were like out in the hallway. We're trying to draw this hallway in the school. And this, we're all just like sitting in the floor in different area, different parts of the school or in this hallway. It's me and Corey. And we were talking about something with comics or something. And this girl that was sitting next to us is like, so you guys are like into comic books? It's like, well, yeah. And like, oh yeah. Didn't want to be like too over the top with it. Cause it's like already been, you know, messed with and picked on enough for
Our generation always has that story.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever told that old story, and I'm probably not going to today, but of like the guff I got at school for, I had two covers from, do you remember Advance Comics, which was the thing before Previews?
Okay.
Advance was the other company that did, that did Previews.
Yeah.
Like it was like the comic store I went to used
Advance.
Yeah. And then I had cut the covers off of two of those and taped them up in my locker. It was like, one was a cover for like Zero Hour.
Yeah.
And one was like a Flash cover. And man, I got just relentlessly taunted by, you know, football people. Cause there was a football guy on either side of me at my locker. Anyway, this girl's like asking him, you guys into comics or whatever? I was like, yeah. And she's like, is that like, Spider-Man? You like Spider-Man comics? And I was like, well, I do love Spider-Man the character, but his comics are kind of terrible right now.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
And then she told us she was into puzzles. That's like a kid that's a teenager, I guess, maybe, that was into puzzles.
Well, yeah, and I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, you know, there's something about the character of Spider-Man. There's something about the character of Peter Parker where it just, something's not working. I mean, we've had how many revamps until Slott takes over Amazing? We're about to have three franchises for the movie. And it's just like, why is that a character that we can't establish?
Well, no, I think it's kind of the opposite. I think the character works so well that, maybe not the opposite's probably not the right choice of words. I think the character works inherently so, there's something so identifiable and like, something we love about the idea and the character of Spider-Man that it's like, even when his comics are terrible, even when the movies aren't, if the movie's not good, it's like, you still love that character.
Yeah.
And you still like, even when the movies aren't good, if they say we're going to make a new Spider-Man movie, you're like, well, I got to go see it. Cause you're like, I liked it. Also, I just realized I'm saying it as I'm wearing a Spider-Man hat.
Yeah. You're right. Because like,
I didn't like that Amazing Spider-Man movie with Andrew Garfield. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's kind of... But, like, I was still, psyched to go see when they made a second one because I was like, it's Spider-Man. I want to see a movie of Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, me and you had the conversation after we went and saw it. I mean, it's like, they got so much wrong and didn't do a lot of stuff. I mean, you got Martin Sheen and Sally Fields as Aunt May and Uncle Ben and did nothing with them, but, you know... But, like, they're, like, me and you're talking about that scene where he's got this fireman hat on and is shooting Electro with like a hose. And it's like, that suit looked amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like what you said. I mean, I can't tell you, I really can't, my favorite Spider-Man comic. I can't tell you my favorite Spider-Man story. But like you said, the elements of that character, when it just, that one panel that's just right,
yeah,
and the right wisecrack, or the right, you know, want, he had no money this week. You know, you're just like, oh yeah, because, you know, he was the alternative superhero when he came out. He was a teenage poor science kid. Everybody was Bruce Wayne, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what makes him awesome.
Yeah. So let's segue from that into
right
what's going on with Spider-Man right now.
It's insane.
So tell people, in case you don't know what's going on with Spider-Man right now, and the, what is the Marvel thing we're in right now?
Marvel Now?
Is it Marvel Now?
Yeah, they brought back Marvel Now.
Okay, so after Secret Wars? Is that what they just called? It was just Secret Wars, like the first one.
Yeah.
Man, what is wrong with my brain today?
Need to vape.
Oh, I hope you guys get to hear this vape conversation, this vape lecture, dissertation Joe gave me at one point earlier. That's going to wreck me. So after Secret Wars and sort of Marvel's continuity was kind of reshuffled and whatever, Spider-Man, like most everything, kind of started over with a new status quo. Mm-hmm. So Joe, why don't you tell people sort of what Pete's, after Secret Wars, what Pete's situation is now.
All right, so you're coming out of Superior, and while Pete was gone and Ock is running around, he establishes Parker Industries. So you got a company, and his first, you know, thing he wanted to do was create better prisons for supervillains. Well, then
makes sense. If you guys didn't read Superior Spider-Man, that was the story like a year and a half, maybe?
Yeah.
About a year and a half where Dr. Octopus had managed to get his brain, his personality, his spirit, whatever you want to say, into Peter Parker's body and switch Pete's into his body, which was about to die. And but then somehow Pete was also still in the brain.
He was also in the brain for a while, and then he got removed. But I mean, this is one of those things where, like, you try to explain it while you're not.
No, it's okay.
No, I'm saying, but like, that you explain it, it makes no sense and sounds like the worst story ever.
No. I think that this story, I'm not doing a great job of it, but I think this story is kind of easy to, is fairly easy to explain. And I think this is where we had a real, for like a year and a half, we had like an ongoing disagreement about this.
Yeah.
The thing, okay, so Dr. Octopus gets into Spider-Man's body, and when he gets into Spider-Man's body, when he gets his brain in there, he also gets flooded with everything that's ever happened to Peter Parker.
Right.
He gets all of Pete's memories, and he realizes, like, what a hard life Pete's had, and, like, how, you know, just, he realized, like, oh, this guy really was a hero. It's like, even though he was screwing up my stuff, it's like, this is a good guy, and it's like, it really changes Dr. Octopus. He's like, I want to, everyone's going to think that I'm still Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I want to try to be the best. I want to like make it up to this kid for being such a pain in the butt. And for now I've
killed him
basically. Yeah. I'm going to be the best. He's going to keep being Spider-Man and be it. Not only is he going to be a hero, but he wants to try to be the best hero he can possibly be and try to be an even better Spider-Man than Spider-Man was.
Right.
And he really does try to be a good guy. And it was awesome to me watching him try to like struggle with like all of his normal inclinations going, no, I can't do it like that. I've got to try to. I absolutely loved that story.
I didn't like it until I went back and read it. For some reason, for me, it didn't do well monthly. But when I went back and just read it as a whole, it was a heck of a lot better.
Well, I think I know why you didn't like it monthly is because you were having to like live through, like, you're like, I read Spider-Man because I want to see Pete.
Right, yeah.
It's like, you know, it's, you know, if all of a sudden they switched, I'm sure I would have had a very similar reaction to it if it had been like all of a sudden Lex Luthor's brain was in Superman for a year and a half.
But then from there, you got, which we're not going to explain because it takes much time, Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
But then from here, now Pete is running a Stark Industries-like company. He is a de facto agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., basically, because he's providing S.H.I.E.L.D. with technology.
Yeah.
And there's a Parker Industries in every major city. Mm-hmm. He has the Apple Watch is a Parker watch in the Spider Universe. I mean, the Marvel Universe. And it's like, I don't know what Slott is doing with this. I mean, where is this going? And he's fighting a group of villains who are themed after the horoscope.
Right.
I mean, I'm supposed to care about a guy named, not Libra, that's Morrison, but care about a guy that is all about the horoscope. I mean, it's...
Well, hey, you got to give it to him. At least that he has him... It's like someone you have not seen him fight a million times before.
No, and that's totally true because there's so many flaws in the Spider villains, but it's just like this. I mean, Tony Stark is not Spider-Man. Spider-Man is not Tony Stark. And I think the theme he's going for is like, what if all of Pete's dreams came true?
Yeah.
You know, and they basically have with this series. But
it looks like, though, but everything is about to come like...
Oh, it's going to come crashing down.
Yeah, sure. Everything feels like it's moving to that place where it's like, especially like kind of some of the stuff that looks like they've got coming up. It's like, oh, this is all about to take a real wild turn.
But, you know, I think part of it falls in the fact that Pete can't be a photographer anymore. That job doesn't really exist anymore.
Oh, I don't know if that's true. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the cell phone technology and everything else. I don't know if Pete could really just
straight up be a photographer as his job anymore. Yeah. Well, he was always having a hard time making those ends meet anyway. Yeah. Roxy's just in my lap now because she keeps coming in here.
Well, do you remember when he stopped being a photographer? What happened there?
When he was a teacher? Or
no, he literally photoshopped a picture to help J. Jonah Jameson out. And like it was some kind of big deal.
Uh-huh.
And like it was huge in New York and they all called him out. And they like basically it was kind of said that Pete will never work for a newspaper again because he photoshopped a picture for Jameson.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But I do remember them using basically that's exactly the plot of Spider-Man 3.
It is the spot. It is. Yeah.
When Topher Grace photoshopped a picture of bad Spider-Man robbing a bank.
Yeah, man.
And then everybody got mad at him and lost his job and blah, blah, blah. I kind of am into what's been going on.
Really?
I'm not caught up completely on it. I'm like a little behind on it. But I've been into it because I like seeing him just do, sort of like, I know I say this, and I'm sure there have been other times with other characters where they try to do something different, and I'm like, boo,
yeah.
I don't like this. But I've kind of been enjoying it. Yeah, like, and it's the same deal with Superior. I was like, I know this is not going to last forever, so it's like, I'm just enjoying going on this ride. And I can see, I mean, when we talked about it as it was happening, like, I could tell... I mean, I completely got why you weren't having a good time with it. But to me, I was like, you know, this is like Thor turning into a frog. It's like, it's not going to last forever. Let's just see what happens.
It was a couple of years, though, wasn't it? I want to say. Was it
with Superior? It was like a year and a half at most before. Because they had to get it. They had to get Pete back. They had to have that new Amazing Spider-Man number one in time for Amazing Spider-Man 2, the movie to come out. And man, that ending felt real rushed. But there was like just a ton of good stuff in there because you not only got to see him going, why does he do it like this? Like,
yeah, and that was part of it too. You got to see like why Spider-Man worked and why he was important through Doc Ock's eyes.
Yeah.
And eventually Doc Ock's, his arrogancy is what killed him as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But Pete came back and,
thinking he could handle everything. Well, I mean, Doc Ock thinking he could handle everything. But some of the, changes he made and the improvement, I liked that suit.
That suit was awesome, yeah.
I liked all the stuff that he did where it was like, oh, and it was really cool to see, because, part of the big ending of that was Spider-Man versus Green Goblin again. Mm-hmm. But it's actually Dr. Octopus versus Green Goblin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and they're both, these mad scientist types who are, oh, and he goes back and, that he goes and it's like, wait, Parker's not actually.
Yeah.
He's like, he's not actually, he doesn't actually have his whatever degree.
I think Norman knew his Ock for at the end, didn't he?
I think, yeah, maybe he figures it out at the end. But I was just thinking about when he was like, some of the stuff that he did that actually, helped Peter once Peter came back where he was like, wait, what do you mean he doesn't actually have his doctorate or whatever?
Yeah.
Cause he was like, that's, you know, Otto's like, that's doctor, whatever. And he's like, well, actually you quit And he's like, what? He's like, this kid's so smart. Like, you know, he's, you know, cause Pete's a genius.
Yeah. Well, you know, Incelot said that he wanted to play off of the fact that Peter is a genius and he should be using his science skills, you know,
as much as his just punching and wisecracking. And yeah, I mean, some of the stuff like that where he was just going like, why is he doing this? He's like, this is dumb. Why does he do it like this? He's like, I can fix this. I can make this easier. You know, I can. And it's like some of that stuff. It's like, man, if Pete doesn't keep some of these things when he comes back, I'm going to be, you know, I was like, he would be dumb to not take advantage of some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, though, there's still like, even when he's trying to be a good guy, some of those bad guy tendencies that would show up in I really enjoyed Superior. But I remember when it was happening and you were talking about how much you didn't like it. And I was just going like, in the back of my mind, I was just always going like, man, when this is all over and it's like had some time to pass, Joe's going to go back and read this and enjoy
it. And I did. But again, that brings us back to the main point of
what's going on now.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you're another revamp, you know, it just revamp.
But I don't think you would call it really like, it's not like a reboot. I mean, cause all the stuff is still there and it's not really revamping him as much as it is going like, let's take this character and drop him in a different situation and just see how he handles it. See what happens. It's like when, at the time, do you remember right before Heroes Reborn?
Okay.
When, Mark Waid and Ron Garney had just taken over Captain America.
Yeah.
And everybody was loving it.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first thing that happens once that story gets going, it's not in the actual first issue, because the first issue is like everybody thinking Captain America's dead. But then like the second issue or whatever, it's like basically one of the first things that happens in that story is Captain America gets the title of Captain America taken away from him by the president.
Okay.
And exiled from America. The way the story went was like, this bad guy has this information that only two people had. One of them was the president, and one of them is Captain America. And the president's like, I definitely didn't give it to him. You're the only other person. He's like, if you say you didn't do it, I believe you, but something's got to happen here. Like, I can't, you know, this was like too big of a, something bad happened. I don't even remember what the deal was, but something bad happens. And they're like, he's like, I hate to do this. You know, I don't want to do this, but you got to go.
Right.
You can't, you're no longer an American citizen. You're exiled from the country. And you're not Captain America anymore. Takes the shield and is like, you got to go.
Right. Yeah.
Don't come back to America. And it's like, Cap has been not Captain America before, but it's like you put him in a situation. It's like the thing just starts and your first thing in the story is to go, all right. And now he doesn't have a shield and he's not Captain America anymore.
Right.
And it's like, okay, go figure it out. He's stuck in France and it's like, he can't be Captain America. He can't go back to America. And it's like, what do you do when Captain America is not even allowed to be in America?
Yeah.
And it was an awesome story. But at the time I was like, what are you doing? Like, you know, it seemed like he's in an awful situation. How is he going to get out of this? And I was like, I couldn't see what the ending of it could possibly be, how he could get back from it. Cause it's like, man, he has to have. And then, you know,
they write the way out of it. Yeah.
He gets out of it. And it's awesome when you're like, oh man. And it's like, that was like a thing, Mark Waid. I love how all over the board we have been with this. When I was like, we're just going to talk about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And these recent comics with Spider-Man and Superman. And then, but it's like, and now we've gone all over the place. But you know, Mark Waid has said like, that's one of his big things he likes to do with characters. Same deal with like the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And like his run on the Flash was what made me love Flash so much. And it's like, but he would do that stuff where it's like every time a new arc would start, Wally has just gotten out of whatever the last business was, where you're like, how is he ever going to get out of this? And then it's like, here comes the next thing. And it's like, ugh, this is even worse. Oh, he can't run. Great. You know, something. It's like, oh, his legs got cut off. What? You know,
but you know, when you talk about Mark Waid and Spider-Man, I just want Mark Waid to do a definitive long run Spider-Man.
Well, I like that stuff that he was doing when they first kind of tried to get Spider-Man back on track, which was the
Brand New Day.
Yeah, Brand New Day, where it was like a rotating create. It was the same like four or five writers, and they just rotated, and it was like Slott and Mark Waid and Bob Gale and one or two other. I don't know. I can't remember. But like all the stuff, I really enjoyed basically all of that.
Yeah, I mean, you had Chris Bacciolo. I can't say that name, but you had Chris Bacciolo.
That works.
Okay, drawing Spider-Man with Mark Waid writing, and you know, and the only thing that was bad about that is I do love those too. Is just that. Sometimes they weren't they were very inconsistent.
Like it's hit or miss.
You get like a 5-issue run that's just awesome, and then you get, you know, the lizard eating his own kid.
A lot of people. I mean, that story was like that was something else.
Oh yeah, well you know,
Shed I think is the name of that story.
Well, and then like God, talk about the
kind of blew the ending there, but
yeah, but I mean, Lord, but like think about like all the and you're talking about the Spider-Man run, like that Mr. Negative character. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't get his appeal. I don't get it.
Okay. Well, I would argue that he might not have too much appeal since I don't think they've done much with him. It's not like people are clamoring for like, give us more Mr. Negative. So my point is like what I was getting at though, with bringing up that Mark Waid stuff is like, I like this idea of taking Pete and just dropping him in like a completely different situation and going like, okay, all of his stuff has worked out. You know, everything that he used to have to struggle with is gone now. Mm-hmm. So, but it's like, then he's going to realize no matter what your situation is, you got struggles. Mm-hmm. You know, there's stuff that's going to be, now I've just got new problems. It's like all that stuff that I thought would, it's everything. It's kind of that thing of like, I thought that my life would be perfect if I got blank. And like, you realize you get that and you're like, okay, now I've just got a new set of problems.
Because it never solves the burden of being Spider-Man, which is the core of the character, is that it's always going to be a burden. It's never easy to be Pete and do what he does.
But it's also, I mean, I think they've done stories where, you know, it's like they do stories where he stops being Spider-Man and he realizes that it's like, it's a burden to not be Spider-Man also.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because you'd be powerless to do anything.
Yeah. And it's like, I like the, you realize he's got to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He needs to be Spider-Man, it's like, I don't know. Anyway, so what is it about it that you're specifically?
It just seems. I mean, I mean, we do have, you know, all of the toys that he has now, but it is. He's Tony Stark now. I mean, he literally is. I mean, there are even lines where they say that Parker Industries is doing better than Stark Industries.
Yeah,
and you know, it's just, you know, I mean, him and Nick Fury literally had a mission where they went into space to stop the bad guys from destroying a satellite, and they were in spacesuits only. And then the bad guy shoots a missile at Earth, and it's headed to France, and Pete has to, like, stop a missile coming from space.
Yeah.
And he's in a spacesuit, and he webs it up, and, like, shoots web. I'm doing like web signs.
Yeah, he's straight up Spider-Man-ing it out.
But he has to fight back a missile going to Earth in a spacesuit and lands and is like, how did I do this? And I'm like, why did you do this? Like, why? It's just, and I see the point to an extent, but it's just like, how much longer of this do we have? You know?
Yeah, but it's to me that's okay. So here's the deal with that is like, are you reading the new Batman book?
No, remember I haven't picked up any of that. But yeah,
I'm asking for the
listeners. The audience that doesn't know that me and you text every day. Yeah, go ahead.
So there's a bit in the Batman is also the entire DC line is in a state of kind of rebirth to use the phrase that they have actually called it. And this new Batman book is, written by Tom King, who is a writer that has written other stuff that I'm like really, really into. And this Batman book, and I think that trying to be as objective as I can, I think that part of the reason why I have not enjoyed it, not the entire reason, but part of the reason why I haven't enjoyed it is that David Finch was doing the art, who is just like, if I could never read another comic written by David Finch, drawn by David Finch, that would be delightful. I hate his art so much.
I mean, it's just 90s Image stuff, though.
Yeah, I mean, I hate it. And it's like, there's parts in that story. I just feel like he really, and I know that there's a lot of people that really like him and people with like good opinions on stuff. I'm not like, if you like David Finch, I'm not saying you're bad. It's just for me personally, I don't like his style.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's a bad fit for the story that's being told. But I know he's a popular artist. So they put him on there and it's like, oh, they put him on there with like a guy who's not a big name writer yet. And yeah. It's like, oh, okay. We've got at least one big name on this book that mm-hmm. is like, and I know they, you know, Scott Snyder wasn't a big name when he started on Batman mm-hmm. back however many years ago, yeah. Coming in after Grant Morrison. I get it, but, what the hell was I talking about? There's a bit in the first issue where Batman jumps the Batmobile like off a bridge and shoots off the ejector seat mm-hmm. to get on top of a plane that is about to crash.
Okay.
And then he's on the plane with like holding on to rope. It's basically like he's trying to steer this plane from on top of it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, and he's talking about like, he's like on the headset with Alfred the whole time, like working out how many degrees do I need to turn it to get past this building or what, you know, on all this stuff. And first I was like, all right guys, first of all, a plane is going so fast. And it's like, look, Batman is great. Yeah. I love Batman, but my man cannot ride on top of a plane. Yeah. Like a plane just like,
well, I mean, it's the whole comic book thing of like, you can only fool us so much.
I can suspend this disbelief like, yeah. only so right. far. Batman's just a dude with a bunch of stuff. I can't buy him. Mm. And first of all, okay, let's buy that he can get on this plane. And let's buy that he can get on this plane and somehow he's got like some rockets attached to it underneath or something where he's like, whatever. I'll buy all of that. Mm-hmm. He can't be talking to someone. There's no headphone, earpiece, like microphone combo in the world that is going to let you be able to, man, you can't hear somebody on the phone with the windows down.
Yeah.
You're talking about you on a
plane
that's crashing, that's like falling out of the sky. And he's just like, Alfred, is this a good death or whatever? And it's like, it's just like, I can't.
Yeah.
And it's like, I heard somebody, you know, somebody, I was talking to somebody else about this on Twitter and they were saying that's like, they're liking though, that it's like, it's Batman doing like superhero stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm into that, but it's like, that's like just a bridge too far. Like Batman riding a plane, like a, you know, like Aquaman on a whale or something. But I think that there are other artists who could have read it or who could have drawn it that would have maybe made me go like buy it a little more.
Right.
I think part of the problem is that David Finch's stuff is like trying to be so that kind of gritty, quote unquote, realism mm-hmm. that it's like, it makes it even harder to buy. If you had someone whose style was like a little more fantastical or a little more like less real, you could kind of maybe buy it a little more. But I say all that.
Yes.
To say that's very similar to what you're talking about happening in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But with Spider-Man, this is a guy who lives in a world where his personal world is yeah. like, I got bit by something and now I have spider powers. Mm-hmm. And now I'm, you know, I'm rich and got gadgets and whatever. I'm in like a completely different place. And so you say Spider-Man doing something like that. And I go, yeah, I can kind of get into that. Spider-Man in space doing stopping a missile or whatever. It's like, I go, yeah, all right. He's got superpowers.
Yeah.
Even though that Batman situation is so similar, mm-hmm. it doesn't work for me at all. But the Spider-Man, when you're saying, and I go like, yeah, that's fine. He sticks to walls. You know, it's like,
ooh, yeah.
He can pick up he can throw a car around. It's like, he's got superpowers. I can kind of buy him doing something yeah. like that.
Well, and it's just like, you know.
But I get why you're saying maybe that doesn't feel.
Well, and Slott does a lot of cool stuff. I mean, Spider-Verse is cool and a lot of other stuff is cool. But it's just like, he has been on this book how many years now? And, you know, I don't have to have a Spider-Man book every week like we do now. Like, we get 3 weeks of Spider-Man books. I would rather have, like, a web of Spider-Man with a different creator. You know, I mean, that when they did that shift to the weekly Spider-Man and got away from the spectacular book, the web book, and everything else, I kind of miss it. Because now we don't have a different voice. We only have Slott's voice for 3 weeks out of the month.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say that maybe them doing it like that is kind of like a... Well, it's like you said, you know, they were doing that, having a bunch of different creative teams mm-hmm. on a bunch of different Spider-Man books yeah. in the 90s when you were talking about mm-hmm. the comics weren't very good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously they could get maybe some people, caliber of people that you might enjoy doing Spider-Man books. But I think there's something different. It's like with Bendis writing, you know, Ultimate for mm-hmm. so long. It's kind of nice to see sort of one creator have an extended sort of vision for a character yeah. and really get to play it out and just really go, all right, we have this book is going to be telling like a consistent chapter of this character's life mm-hmm. or chapters. Right. And, you know, he's been doing it for so long. This conversation is nice because like all of the things, basically like all of the stuff you have complained about, I've kind of, if not felt the opposite, disagreed with, mm-hmm. but I completely understand why you feel the way you do.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're wrong.
No.
Like, I completely right. get it. And I don't think you're wrong, but I'm like, for me, I go, okay, but I can kind of appreciate this other way they're going. So,
but you get the same thing with Superman, though, don't you?
I mean, oh, for sure.
But I yeah. mean, because there's what, four books for him right now?
There's Action and Superman. Mm-hmm. I think that's all that's out right now, but you get one of them every week.
Okay.
Because they're both shipping twice a month.
Okay.
And it's like, actually, you know what? We've kind of gone for so long mm-hmm. talking about this. I kind of don't want to talk about Superman now. I wanted to talk about, I'm in a position where it's like, I guess I can say this real quick. We don't have to get into a whole thing. Or maybe we will. We'll see what happens.
Pete, let's go.
Okay, so the thing is like with this DC Rebirth thing, mm-hmm. I was very excited about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm still very excited about it because it's like still unfolding. Mm-hmm. And unlike with like the new 52, where they just dropped everything the first month,
yeah,
everything just unloaded it all on us. And it's like, you know, 52 new number ones with Rebirth. I was doing reviews for 52 for the new 52 for all those first issues. I was doing reviews for that for Comics Alliance when it happened.
Right.
You could just read and even in the first issues of a bunch of those books, you could either see the wheels coming off mm-hmm. or you could go like, oh, there were never any wheels on this. Right. They just pushed this train out and they were like, oh, we'll worry about the track in a few months.
Yeah.
Some of those books were just like a complete mess right out of the gate. And it was like, you guys clearly, it was so obvious. Some of those books had a lot of thought put into them. Mm-hmm. And some of them had like next to no thought put into them.
Oh yeah.
Just get them out.
I mean, and not to keep talking about me, but like I was one of the
That's what you're here for. You are here to talk about your special take on these things.
Let me take a hit of vape and I will tell you all about it. But really, though, like I was one of the people who quit DC during 52. The only thing I kept going was Morrison Batman and the Batman and Robin book. And then when those ended, I stopped.
Yeah.
Rebirth, I jumped back on for that Geoff Johns last issue for the Rebirth itself. Mm-hmm. But like I'm thoroughly interested in Rebirth because I wanted to get back not to what it was, just something better than New 52.
Yeah, which is not – it's not saying it's not a high bar to get yeah. some of this stuff better.
But since you had these conversations more than I do, like I'm on Reddit comic book all the time. Okay. that's like just where I go. The people there, not everybody, but like there's a thing where they're saying that Rebirth is not a reboot.
It's not.
How?
All right, everybody, you know what that sound means. It means we have reached the end of another episode of something within the podcast universe of Keep It Close to Me. This being the first episode of Comics Rule Everything Around Me, I hope you had a good time. It was certainly fun for me getting to talk to Joe like this, which, you know, it's been fun for me getting to talk to everybody that I've done this show with. And I'm glad that I get to do it and that people keep being willing to come talk to me about silly things like comics and movies and all this stuff. So two things that I should apologize for during this episode, and maybe I should have put this at the beginning of the episode, but, you know, just wanted to get right into it instead of slowing it down. One, I made the mistake of putting Joe, who is both an animated talker and a kind of known fidgeter, in a noisy chair, which I was not thinking about. I was just trying to get him a nicer chair than the one I was going to have him sitting in. And so you can hear that chair squeaking every time Joe moves, and I'm really sorry about that. And I will oil that chair, or just I'll find a quieter chair for people in the future if I know they're the kind of people that are get into stuff and move around when they talk. So I apologize if that was like super irritating to have to listen to the whole show. Hopefully it's not too bad. The other thing I have to apologize for is the fact that Joe and I definitely were all over the place. And that's okay. It's not so much an apology, but if you were coming expecting to hear really focused comic talk, I'm afraid that's not what you got, because Joe and I, this is the first time Joe and I have got to like sit down and really talk about comic stuff in a while. Most of our comic talk these days is just over text, and it's pretty quick, you know, and throughout the day or over the course of days or whatever, but actually getting to be in, you know, face to face talking to each other, you kind of get a different vibe going, and it's easy to get excited and, you know, get worked up about stuff and, just kind of jump all over the place. And I'm especially bad at that, or bad about that when I start getting into talking about something. So I apologize, but hopefully you don't mind too much. You guys probably, if you're listening to this, you probably know me well enough by now to know that that's kind of something that's bound to happen. But, so I hope you enjoyed this talk, and there will be, the continuation of that story. We talk about in the next episode, we talk about DC Rebirth. We talk about what's going on in Superman. We answer all of your Twitter questions, do a whole bunch of stuff. So I hope that you will, be here for the next episode of Comics Rule Everything Around Me. Normal episodes of Keep It Close to Me, and hopefully I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat will, I've Got to Beat, can't even say it. I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation will be back, to a more normal schedule here soon. And, what else? Thank you so much to all of you that are Patreon backers, patrons, supporters of the show that, have made this show, a reality. The first goal I set on the Patreon for the show was broken within, or broken's not the right word. That makes it sound bad. And it's a positive thing. Was achieved, successfully reached, whatever you want to say. Was conquered within like a day and a half. And that's super cool of you guys. And that goal was that if we got to that first goal, I would start a new show, a new weekly show just about comics, called Comics Rule Everything Around Me, which is what you're listening to now, and I hope you're enjoying it. If you are enjoying it, if you enjoy the other shows, check out the Patreon. It's patreon.com/thechrishaley. There's all kinds of cool stuff that you can get, you know, either early access to stuff with the show or behind the scenes things, but also there's cool stuff you can just get in the actual real physical mail that I will mail to you for backing and supporting the show and supporting the kind of silly stuff that I do that I hope you guys enjoy. And, you know, if even if you can just do like a dollar, that's still a big help. And, you know, all of the people that added any little bit of money, or the people that were a little more generous, who I am very thankful for, you know, it all helps. And I really appreciate it. And so I hope you're enjoying this show. And I hope that the show is going to continue to be fun and get better and all that stuff. So all of that stuff, follow. We didn't really get into it on this episode. We'll get into it in the next one. But you guys should definitely go follow Joe on Twitter. He is at JOETIPZ, Joe Tips, because Joe is the master of having good tips for us just in general. Every now and then, group will get a text from Joe about something, just some good life advice from Joe. The other thing you'll hear in the next episode, why I definitely need more people to go talk to Joe about comics on Twitter, which we'll get there when we get there. But follow Joe at Joe Tips with a Z. Follow me on Twitter at the Chris Haley. Follow the show at KICTM Podcast. If you've got any questions or comments or anything at all that you want to send to the show, anything you want to ask me about anything to do with any of the shows, send that to keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you have a good time with all of the different things. And hope you're having a good week or a good weekend or whatever it is when you're listening to this. I'm happy to get to talk to you guys, and I hope you are happy to get to hear from me, your podcast pal. And I'll just leave you guys with this.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out! Here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big pain. Wherever there's a pain, you'll find a Spider-Man.
Roxy, can I help you?
Attention, please. That's what I need.
Yeah. Roxy just always wants to get on the show, I think.